What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Brute force. If it doesn't work, you're just not using enough. You're listening to Soft Web Radio, Special Operations Military News, and Straight Talk with the Guys in the Community.
Hey, what's going on? This is Rad with Soft Web Radio. I have the great privilege today to bring you a special guest, one that's going to help us kind of maybe set our day straight. You know, we try to have this alarm clock next to our bed, and we always hit snooze, and I'm hoping that my guest, Alden Mills, former SEAL team member, SEAL Team 2, been around the teams, you know, he's got some background in discipline and leadership, and he's written a couple books. Unstoppable Teams is out, and Beyond Unstoppable. Is that right? Am I close to that? Alden, welcome.
Be unstoppable, Rad, but we're right there. That's what we're going to be doing today.
That's right. And so welcome to the show. Welcome to the Soft Rep family. I'm happy to have you here. Now, Alden, let's talk about a little bit of the beginnings of your crawl, walk, run phase to the military. How old were you when you enlisted into the, it's the Navy, right?
It was the Navy. But, you know, first I want to just tell you, it's such a privilege to be on Soft Rep. And I think of it as talking about with my brothers and all my sisters out there. I so miss the camaraderie and the brotherhood. So thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for reaching out and wanting to share your message. I always do like a guest, Alden, that wants to be on Soft Rep. You know, it's something that is, there's something in the listeners there. They're here, you're here, I'm here, and we all want to be here. And so this conversation today is going to talk about what you've had to deal with, your ups and downs, getting to where you're at today. And thanks again for the nice words on being on the show. I'll be sure to send my friend Brandon Webb, who runs the podcast, a what's up for you, okay?
Please do that. Give Brandon a pass, will you?
I will. I have to say his name right now so we hear Brandon Webb. How old were you, though, when you joined?
Well, you know, my path was going to the Naval Academy. And I will tell you, that path got set a little earlier in life. And it got set through my mom, really. I was 12 at the time and was visiting this pulmonologist doctor in central Massachusetts. He looked like a older Danny DeVito with a bald scalp and white wispy hair and thick Coke bottle glasses. And he constantly looked like he was smelling sour milk when he delivered the news to me and my mom that this boy he's born was smaller than average sized lungs and he's an asthmatic. He needs to lead a less active lifestyle. I suggest a game of chess. And that was a pivotal moment for me. You know, mom sent me out in the lobby while she wanted to talk to the good doctor. Mm-hmm. When I came out, I was having a full pity party for myself. I remember making puddles of tears on the floor and she looked at me and she's like, "What's wrong with you?" I'm like, "Mom, chess? I am terrible at checkers. How am I going to learn that game?" And she said, you know, she had these long, sharp French cuticle nails and she'd dig them into my forearm. And she said, "You listen to me. Nobody defines what you can or can't do but you. Now, I'll get you the medicine, but you got to decide what you can do." And, of course, that wasn't the day I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, right? I just wanted to play a game. I wanted a basketball team, and I made it and then scored against my own team and then scored against my own team in hockey and lacrosse and soccer. I was terrible at ball sports. But the confidence I got to keep going, which was what I hope everybody today gets, is to understand they're a hell of a lot more powerful than they might realize, especially if they're stuck, which we all get stuck, is you kept looking for something to be great at. And I found this sport called rowing, where I could sit on my butt and go backwards for long periods of time. And rowing took me to the academy. And then the academy and rowing took me to SEAL Team. So when asked the question, you know, how did you come to SEAL Team? I first would say, well, you know, it started with being told I couldn't do something at 12.
Yeah, tell somebody they can't do something, period, right? Let alone a determined 12-year-old who wants to be on a team, play sports, run the soccer field with his friends, play lacrosse, score on himself in hockey, you know?
Four different sports, Rad.
I'm hearing it. I'm hearing it.
That was not a confidence-building event for me.
You know, hopefully you got over scoring on yourself as you transitioned into rowing. Yeah. And, you know...
But, you know, I finally found one that fit. You know, I'll tell you one other component. I was still kind of contemplating between Marine Corps. I liked the Marine Corps and the Force Recon. Mm-hmm. And I was preparing for service selection. And you really have to start your junior year. And this senior Navy SEAL walks up to me. And he had medals up over his shoulder practically the way I remember him. And he had this big unregulated mustache, and he's like, "Hey Mills, you thinking about trying out for SEAL Team?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I'm thinking about it." I go, "What do you guys do?" And he goes, "Well, you ever been bullied before?" And my mom and my grandmother used to keep my hair really long, right? And it was curly, and I had a nickname called Shirley Temple.
Sure, yeah, because you got curly hair and it's probably reddish, right? And so, like, he's got
back then it was blonde.
Really, oh yeah,
blonde, right? And
oh yeah,
I stood for a moment and I was like, "Yeah." As a matter of fact, and he held his hand up. He's like, "I didn't want to hear about it." That's what we do, you know. We go around the world and we knock back bullies. If you're interested in that, come try out. It was a really interesting correlation that he made there, you know. And that kind of sold me, like, you know what? I'm going to go try this thing called SEAL Team. And it was a perfect extension for rowing. 8 people in a boat, 8 paddlers and a Zodiac and a lot of water, which I love.
How's that transition, though, the Zodiac from a rowing? You know, I mean, those are very, you know, cylindrical, very, like, you know, tapered. And now you're in this surf with this losable oar.
That was the only transition there was, the kind of visual thing of we're a boat and a paddle, right?
Right.
It was painful. Right. Painful. Because those boats, they wanted you to flip in the sea, in the surf zone. But the concept was the same. Yeah. And the concept is there's no Rambo in SEAL Team or any of the special operations. You know, I happen to know SEAL Team, but the Green Beret and Delta and the Air Force – CCT and Pararescue, I mean, they're all exceptional groups, and they're all about the team. And the idea that each and every one of us is so much stronger when we support the team than it is trying to be the superhero. And, you know, I often give people, like, I wrote about it in the second book about, you know, the cartoon series Super Friends. Mm-hmm. Right, I love the Super Friends growing up. Who didn't like the Super Friends? And the Super Friends had this dynamic duo called the Wonder Twins. Right, it was a brother and sister. They looked like they might have been some kind of fraternal twins, and they had these rings. And when they would say, you know, Wonder Twins activate, And together, they were far more powerful than when they were apart, right? They were a force multiplying effect. And I use that as an analogy for what SEAL Team does. The Army does it. You know, we call it a swim buddy. Army calls it a battle buddy. But the idea that you are never going through anything in the military life without a Wonder Twin.
Mm-hmm.
And when you
have, two into danger.
Right? And so, and by the way, you know, a lot of times people are like, yeah, you know, I can carry all the ammo myself, or I can carry the 60 gun. Like, that's not the real point of the swim buddy. Yeah, they can help you carry the load. But the biggest loads are the emotional loads. And we're imperfect. We can't do it all ourselves. We're not built to do it all ourselves. We're built to work with others. And that piece of it has really kind of led me down the path of helping people be unstoppable, in part by helping them find their swim buddies and getting after it together and letting them know they're not alone. The best way to achieve things is by building out your own goal teams and getting after it together.
You know, that makes a good point. Now, when you go through the academy and the Naval Academy, and that's Annapolis, right?
Yes.
Is that the one? That's the actual. Okay. So you go through Annapolis, yeah. You get commissioned. You go out to the teams, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so are you going out as an ensign? Is that the first commission that is given? Okay, in the Navy. Bear with me. I'm just making sure.
Second, and then everybody else, but ensign for the Navy.
Okay, so, and respectfully, now you get to the teams and you're supposed to be the guy in charge, right?
Yeah.
And that you've been trained to be the guy in charge. You've been, you know, you've been curated and talked to, and here you are, it's your chance. You got a guy that's been on the team for about 3 years already. How are you feeling, you know, with his already tenure? And he might be like, you know, a petty officer. And here you are as an ensign, you know, and this has to go down and you're coming onto the teams. Did that ever have any, how do you make that cohesion?
Well, first of all, you are talking about probably the single most important leadership bridge you must cross. And they are watching you like a hawk. When you first show up at that team, you just show up at that team, you're still just a SEAL candidate at that point. And what they're watching for is for you to realize that your ego is not your amigo when it comes to this, because I don't know anything. Yeah. Okay. So I went through 4 years of a boat school in Annapolis, but that didn't teach me how to lead a platoon that has 3, 4, 5, 7 deployments of experience individually underneath them. What they're looking for is to see if you're going to ask for their input and ask for their help. And you get evaluated on that very early on. And if they don't think you're going to listen and seek advice, they know you're a danger. And they'll either put you in the penalty box until you learn to listen, or you won't succeed there. Mm-hmm. And so your example is, I would say that's a kind example of a petty officer with 3 years. We're talking about chief petty officers with 17 years, 7 deployments under their belt. Lots of petty officers with 3, 5, 7 years of experience in multiple deployments. Mm-hmm. Here I am. I outrank them all as good old Ensign Mills. But I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And being able to listen and take their input is a critical component to your success of leading any kind of a team.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Love. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Critical listening is super important, right? And so hearing what these teammates have to say may save your life. And so if you go in there with just like this whole mantra of like, okay, I'm in charge, which you are essentially, right? And that's the respect. I think you have to salute the rank or salute the man, but at the end of the day, you have to salute, right? So there is that aspect of the situation. But coming in there and then just listening, saying, hey, you know, you might want to hold your paddle like this. I know you came from rowing like this, sir, but on the Viking ship, the oars go like this, yeah. Right? Just put those two things together, boss, and you got it. Okay, I believe
in you. That's right.
And then you guys kind of like a salute-free zone. So some Green Beret, you know, here in Utah, the 19th, they have signs posted around their area. It says, no salute and first name basis.
Yeah. When you're off in your platoon, that's exactly. It's just when you're out in front of, you know, the senior administrative formal position. You know, these are your brothers. These are people who are willing to jump on the grenade for you and you for them. And if they don't feel that way, you're not going to make the transition from a group of individuals to a high-performing, unstoppable team.
So when you're constantly sped up for the team and you have been doing PT every day and you're constantly, you know, working out scenarios and you're forecasting their lives, okay, which they don't know about. And they're just like, hey, whatever boss tells us, we're going to go do, okay, whatever he says, whatever it is, right? We're going to go fight for him. And in 6 months from now, you're plotting the course to, like, you know, do rapid deployments. And then, you know, how does someone go from staying so actively with your brain, right, training that muscle inside of your head and writing out all of these scenarios to transitioning out of the military and into a civilian world, right? How do you – what was your – process for that, if you don't mind?
Well, I have to tell you, it was hard. I'm going to be brutally honest with you.
Yeah, I want it.
That was a major transition. There isn't a day that goes by, even today, that I don't think about it. And when I first made the transition to leave SEAL Team, which was very hard, you know, they stand you up in front of the entire team and tell you why you're leaving. I choked up on that one. That was the hardest decision in my life at that point. And then I show up a couple days later at business school, and I'm just thinking to myself, what have I done? Because I can't relate with, you know, all these civilians who are getting visibly upset because they didn't get 100 on their exam. You know, they got a 92, and I'm sitting here with a 29. Like, what? What are you guys talking about? Like, no one's shooting at you. You don't have to worry about your parachute not opening or running out of air underwater. And they're looking at you like, what? No, you don't understand. I don't get Bs. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. Cs get degrees, dog.
Amen, brother. I will tell you that the great transition for me, I had to take the self-discipline that I learned to create my own chart. My own map. A chart is nothing more than a map at sea. And that was around creating goals that I decided that were important to me and that I was going to create a schedule like a mission plan every day, talk through some contingencies and work through, you know, just training myself and then finding some people that could help me because I knew as a civilian there were a whole bunch of things I sucked at. There were only a couple of things I was good at. And that's, by the way, how it works in SEAL Team 2. You have to look for everybody who's better than you to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that goal setting process became my North Star. Because when you really go through the goal setting process, you really start to understand, okay, what are you passionate about? And what is purposeful for you, and linking those two. And in my head, I think of it like rowing my own boat. And when I'm rowing my own boat, I'm the captain of my own boat, right? And I have these two oars in the water, and one I call passion, and one I call purpose. If only one is in the water, I start going in circles, right? I can be super purposeful about something, but have no passion for it.
Right.
You're not going to go straight. You're not going to make a lot of progress. I can be super passionate about something, but there's not a lot of purpose to it. Well, then the other oar is still just going to put me in there. But when I put both of those together, it's like you've also put a compass in your boat, and you can start to get going in forward progress together. I don't care which one comes first, and don't anybody here get wrapped around the axle. There are books out there that will say you got to have purpose first, and then find the passion in it. No. You can be very passionate about something and then find purpose, and you can be purposeful about something and find passion, but you need both of those. And then you need the consistency, just chipping away, taking the stroke every day. Not a big stroke, not lots of strokes, you know, 15, 30 minutes a day of chipping away at something new that eventually will change your direction in life.
I love the both paddles in the water analogy. You know, it makes sense. The purpose, you know, the passion. I talk with people, whether it's veterans at like almost like a conference where we're getting together as friends and talking about business ideas, you know, helping others, you know, entrepreneurs. And, you know, we're all on that same boat at that same time together, right? Whether you're solo and you only have one oar of the water, or you're with a whole group of people trying to make this teamwork, you have to have all your oars in the water. I really love that. And so I'm going to use that. I just want you to know.
Please do. I want you to use it. I want every listener to use it.
Yes.
I want them to understand that when those two oars are in the water, then the compass in your boat, we all have a compass. The compass is what you decide you want, when you want it, and why you want it, right? And that compass will start to give you the North Star of your direction. You know, and it takes a long time. If you think about going from where you are right now to the place that you want to be, it can be overwhelmingly exhausting to go, oh my God, the place that I want to be is so far past the horizon. I can't see it. And, you know, you hear people saying, well, you got to see to believe. That's not right. You got to flip it.
I think you're right. Yeah.
To see it, right?
Right.
You got to believe it. And,
that's right.
And the believing process can be really hard at times, which is why, you know, which is why I hope people are tuning into this show with us and realizing like, oh yeah, I got this and I'm not alone at doing it, because it can be really frustrating taking a lot of strokes and thinking you're not making any forward progress. Which brings me to the last piece of the boat analogy. Your fuel to keep going is progress. Once you start to realize like, hey, maybe your progress is I took a stroke every day this week. That's all I did. And that stroke is one little daily action towards my goal. That fuel will propel you to do the next one. And that's all we need. We just need enough fuel to take the next action.
That's right. I completely love that. It's purpose, passion, and
progress.
Progression. Progress. Excuse me. Yeah, I wrote my bad handwriting, special ed. Mm-hmm. I was trying to write it down as you were saying it, because it's three P's, right? There's a lot of P's. Right. Proper planning prevents poor performance. Yep. You know, passion, purpose, and progress.
Yes.
Yeah, seriously, because you can have one oar in the water and just go in circles, or better yet, I think if you're just in the open water and the current is just pulling you and you're swimming against the current or whatnot, you feel like you're strokes after strokes, you're not getting there. You know, maybe you're caught in a riptide, but if you just keep, you know, calm, maybe swim to the side, you know, get out of that situation and just keep moving and gain ground. Every inch matters towards your passion. And I think what you're saying to me as a listener, because I'm listening to you as well as our other listeners, is on the horizon, you have this belief that there is land and you have to just keep going towards the direction that land is at so you can finally step on land. Otherwise, I don't think anybody would ever be an explorer.
Yeah. So look, Rad, we can spend a lot of time on this topic. This is a very important topic.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in your harbor of your comfort zone, the place you are right now, where everybody is tuning in and listening to us, they could be like, yeah, I'm in the harbor of familiarity. I've been here for a while. I want something more. I want to go beyond the horizon to this new island that's got beautiful palm trees. You know, we're making the metaphor here. It's our pot of gold, our new place. You can't see that. You have to believe in that beforehand. Mm-hmm. And then
right up here,
there is this leadership transition that occurs. And I use this leadership transition. It's a very important leadership transition. It's when we leave sight of land. And that is that place between the known and the unknown. When we finally leave our harbor of familiarity, which I will call mediocrity over time, because we're not growing, we're not really pushing ourselves anymore. And then when we decide, okay, we're going to go explore, we're going to go try this new thing that's out there. And now I'm going into a place where it's unfamiliar. I don't know. I have never done these things. These are new things to me. And when you get there, that's the transition between managing your day and leading yourself. And leading yourself means you're taking risk. You don't know the outcome. You don't know. You very well could fail.
Right.
And it's at that point that you start living again because there's a risk involved. You need courage. You have fear. Fear's there for a reason. That's okay. But you have enough courage to fight back the fear, to take the extra strokes, to go for something that other people may say, you're crazy, and I don't want you to listen to them. I want you to just build your swim buddies, your battle buddies, your goal buds that come together with you, go, Brad, I believe in you. Get on that radio station. People want to hear from you. You go do that.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Chase it. Go after it. Just keep pursuing. Pursue it.
Strokes.
That's right.
Strokes.
That's right. Such a good conversation that we're having. And positivity goes a long way, especially, you know, if you can just see a fraction of success, it's because you've dealt with a lot of failure, right? You've had to deal with things that didn't go right to see that it went right, right? I mean, damn it, Spock. I'm a doctor, you know? It's like all these things you want me to do, but I'm good at this thing. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going down to fix the nuclear reactor, Spock, man. I'm the doctor, Spock. But I mean,
But you,
I love it.
You hit on something very important, Rad. And it's why I like being associated with the word unstoppable. You see, to be unstoppable means you have to have been stopped. You have to have gotten stuck. It's not like you wake up every day and go, I'm just unstoppable and I'm not going to have any problems and I'm going to sail through life. Like, no, no, no. You need the problem. You need to get stuck, because the getting stuck gives you the strength and the skill to build forward progress for yourself. We need the friction of being stuck. We need the friction of the struggle. Otherwise, we have no friction. It's like cars spinning on ice with the wheel, right? Yeah. A car goes forward because there's friction between the tire and the asphalt. You struggling against the wind and the waves and the waters, currents pushing you back on our metaphorical leaving the harbor of mediocrity, need it. It can't be calm, smooth seas. Then your goal is not big enough. It's not challenging enough. The goal challenge is the gift that makes us better and propels us to that new location.
That's right. And it just kind of goes back to our analogy of boats and you and the surf with a zodiac coming from rowing aspect. And I think that they're teaching you to, in combat, you're going to be getting shot at while you have to get out of that surf. You have so much more at risk other than just training to get out of that surf, out of those breaks, because, you know, you're supposed to be sea, air, and land. You're supposed to be able to, you know, drop in, swim under the water, or bust out in a boat, like, you know, like Navy SEALs, the movie with Charlie Sheen, like we watch it on the movies. Okay. Get to the boat. Just get me to the ocean. Out. I can smell it. It's a mile away north.
Right.
You know? And so, you know, but they're being chased in the movie. You know, they're being rocket launched at in the movie. They yep. have to kill grandma, take the car to get to the objective in the movie. They have to do all these things in the movie. And that's kind of what, you know, we see. But that training that you're doing in that surf zone, it's there to get you through that break point, that pain point of like, you can do this.
It's to push you across that horizon that you have already limited in your head. We all have it. Right? Yeah. We have these limiting beliefs. And they come to us all the time. And our job is to lead ourselves first. That's the single most important leadership responsibility we have. And then how we lead ourselves, well, then that influences how we lead others and how we build a team. So you want to become a better team leader? Become a better leader of yourself.
It's true. Now, there's a difference between being a teammate and a bro on the team. I would imagine, like, you know, you could be, let's put myself in your position where you're the commander of a team, you're in your office, you're working, and, you know, you have to take something out of the typewriter and crumble it up and throw it away in the trash can, and it falls out because there's other trash in your trash can. Because you're so busy, you're trying to coordinate, you know, the operation. You're trying to make sure there's food for the operation. The rides are there. You're talking to commanders who are like, whatever. And you're doing all of that work. Okay. And then you have to type up the orders and you got to like throw one away and it's like trash cans full. So you're like, hey, bro, hey, come over here, Jones, bro, Jones, come here, bud. And will you take my trash out? He's like, yeah, no problem, bro, sir. You're like, thanks, bro. Right. And you're like, okay, bro. So he goes down the chain of command. Yo, bro, other guy, bro, bro, take his trash out, man. Take the boss's trash out, bro. So you got these bros on the team, and then finally the trash gets taken out. But you had to say something about that, right? And then there's this guy, let's say you. You come out, and you're like, oh, you know, you see me working. I'm typing, and I throw it away. And you're like, oh, it didn't fall over. You just took the trash without being asked. You came in and saw that my trash can was full, and I didn't have to say anything to you. And did you want to take point on the mission, bro? Is that what you want? You want point, don't you? You want to see it coming first so you can drop. Huh, that's what you want. I'm going to give that to you. But he don't know that.
And what, because, in your example,
yes,
the gentleman that decides to take the initiative and look at the situation and go, LT's trash can's overflowing. I'm going to help him out. So he's, you know, what's that emotion that drives him to do that?
I would say, well, I want to say it's love. It's love for, you know, boom. I just want to say that. It's what is in my heart on that. And so
stop right there. You're good. Right? And love, the basis of love is care. Care squared is what I call love. But you're right. at the end of the day, the guy cares so much about making sure LT can stay focused on writing the order. He's like, dude, I got your back. Don't even think about it, right? And that idea that someone else has your back is what makes a SEAL team, a Green Beret, a Delta Force, so unstoppable, because they care about each other so much that they love each other. That's right. By the way, that doesn't have to be unique in the military. It can be done when you build out your goal teams and what you're going after. And when you ask me about how did I transition from the military to civilian, I just gave you 30 years of transitional work, right?
Yeah.
That's hard. Mm-hmm. Okay, maybe it's not 30 years because I got out in 2005. So 20 years,
old,
right?
Or, old man Alden over here.
But yeah, with the ripe old age of 54. But, you know,
that, you look good.
That
you hold it well.
Key to that. And finding people that will reciprocate. And in the beginning, as a leader, and remember, we're all leaders. Every single one of us. Everybody that's listening, you're a leader. You're a leader because you have to lead yourself. You led yourself to turn this podcast in and tune in to Rad and Alden. But you're a leader. Now, how many people will follow you? That's a different conversation. But when you're leading in that regard, you have to take the first step of loving others, of caring for others, right? The love I'm talking about is not some sexual love. It's about caring enough for somebody else and like, hey, I got your back. I want you to succeed. I'm going to be here to help you. And that is a boomerang effect. And it can take a while. I call it the care boomerang. And in the beginning, because people get burned, right? They'll immediately go, dude, that guy is just a brown noser. He was taking out LT's trash. Like, he's just trying to get the better job or something like that, right? They're immediately thinking of some negative reason. But then after a while, they're like, no, he just cares about the team and he wants to make everything as good as possible. And that jaded perspective over time, because you're being very consistent about caring for every aspect, because he didn't just take the trash out for LT. He took the trash out for them because right. They were cleaning the weapons and he already cleaned his weapons. He's like, dude, I got it. Don't worry about it. I'm here for each of you. And when they start to see that, then they start to realize like, well, I want to give back. I'm going to care too. It's like the simplest version I can say is like you walk into a grocery store and you hold the door open for somebody behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And they turn around and go, oh, well, thank you. And then they hold the door open for somebody else.
Contagious.
It's contagious. And the challenge for the leader is you have to take the first step. So you got to be courageous enough to care enough. And when that process happens over and over and over again, the caring, and this sounds a little trite, it leads to daring. People will start to dare because they're not worried about looking in the rearview mirror for themselves. They're not being selfish for themselves. They're being selfless.
That's right. That's right. I love it. I bring a lot of what we're talking about to my company. My organization has a lot. Like what I just talked about, that analogy of the trash, has been talked to with my staff. You know, I just say, hey, you know, I heard this analogy one time. Let me bring it up to you. And they're like, oh, and I tell them the story. I'm like, are you the bro on the team? Or are you the teammate on the team? And it just sets the tone, you know, of how we expect everybody to work in what we do here and to maintain success. And same with our war games. It has the same conversation as what goes into my team, my personal friends that we have been friends for 14, 15 years on this team.
Right.
And we still rally up and go out and fight every other Saturday. It's the best thing ever. And everybody puts their own gas in their vehicle. Everybody takes their own ammunition out to the play, the airsoft games. Nobody's really paying anything except their own passionate commitment to being on the team.
Yeah.
No one forces them to be there. Nobody's paying them to be there, but there they are. Why? Because we're like, hey, we're going to run dynamics today. Who's down? Well, I know Rad's going to be there, so I got to show up. And Rad's going to always be there, because everybody was wondering, how did you keep attendance of everybody, Rad, over 15 years of running your team? I've been asked that. It's like, it's all mental. They're like, how? I said, I showed up. I took a group photo every single game of the entire team. It was just a thing I did. And if you're not in the photo, then you're not in the photo. Yeah. It's simple. So for 15 years, we ran with that same, and I learned things as I grew running the games, you know, and it would range anywhere from like 32 guys on the daily, men and women on my team specifically, bringing out like maybe another 100 to fight with. And so we would just separate into two different factions, Alpha versus Bravo. I would set up my teams as radio telephone operator individuals on those teams. So we're always talking to each other on both sides, but they're running the teams and fighting, and everybody doesn't realize the puppets are happening, right?
Yeah.
So it's just how it goes. It's just camaraderie, teamwork, rubbing shoulders next to somebody, knowing that you're there for them, having their back. Even in airsoft war games, having my back means a lot, man. We got guys sneaking around like rubber knives trying to take my life. Okay.
Yeah.
I've had my tent opened up. Thought was my security going out to take a whiz. It was an enemy coming in, and he's like, "Hey, yo, Captain Rad." I'm all, "What?" He's like, "You're dead." And I was like, man. So getting killed at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. when you should be not being killed at 4 a.m. and your eyes are closed. That, even in war games, bro, I sat on the edge of my cot for like probably 15 minutes on the radio saying, I thought we were indexed to my counterparts on the other teams. Like, nah, man, it was 4 a.m. index, not 3 a.m. rat. I was like, man, I got killed. I was like, I'm dead in my tent, in my tent. So, you know, teamwork goes a long way, right? And it goes to, and then everybody has a good time and everybody's all high-fiving. So to my listener out there, you know, I think that if you stay positive with what you believe in and you stay focused and stay the course on your passion, again, it will bring purpose, right? And then you see the progress of your passionate purpose, you're going to keep going after that. It's like finding little gold flakes when I'm gold panning. Man, boy, don't let me find gold flakes. I'm digging holes. Can't even fix my fence, but I can dig some holes in the river for some gold.
Right, you know? Right.
You can catch me in the river up in Utah mountains panning for gold.
That's awesome, Rad.
Yeah, bro. My wife, my kids, we all sit in the water and just go to town on camping trips, bro. It's just there's a river. Make it profitable, productive. My kids are, we're entrepreneurs.
And by the way, that's another important piece. That's called hope.
Yeah.
You need hope.
Yeah. And faith. A lot of curse words too. You're like, is this pyrite? Pyrite, what's pyrite, Dad? Fool's gold. Fool's gold, son. It's fool's gold.
Right.
Go up to Northern California. It's everywhere. Fool's gold. My wife just wants to move there because it's so shiny and gold in the dirt.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's just fool's gold.
It is. I've done that with my boys.
Yeah, it's true. And as much as I want it to be real gold, I got to stay on it. And I got to be, you know, I got to make progress on real gold. I can't just sit back with fake gold. It's not going to do nothing for me.
Yep.
So, you know, just to bring that back into our metaphors here, it's like, you know, I'm looking for the vein, man. I'll take it. Chip away at it.
I will tell you, kind of bringing it full circle, as I've done this transition and I talked to you about how important goals are, mm-hmm. you know, it's why I created that software app called GoalBud, is to help people make a goal, build a goal team, and create and report goal commitments. Those are the three big things. And if you can do that on a daily basis, you are going to find your gold.
Mm-hmm.
You mm-hmm. will continue. But the challenge is creating the discipline in the first half. And, you know, it's that free app, GoalBud, that allows people to put in your goal, put it out there to your own goal team. Invite them to become your buds and then tell them, hey, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to report to you 5 times a week on panning for my gold. And I'm going to do this every single day. And when people do that, they start to see the progress, because they'll start to see, hey, I did 3 weeks of this already. Like, we're making progress. And that gets them fired up to go across your metaphorical horizon.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hi,
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
100%. And Goldbud, we'll have that put into the comments, you know, in our description on softrep.com. So if any of you happen to not, you know, catch it while we're talking, you can always click on it when it's going to be posted. It's called Goal Bud, and that's G-O-A-L, right?
Correct.
B-U-D.
Just Goal.
Yeah, just like, yeah, just like that. And so, you know, it's going to help set a goal for you and make it an attainable goal, right? If you set yourself up, I mean, you can have an attainable goal for today. Like, I'm going to make my bed and brush my teeth, and those are goals. I don't want to be a slob anymore and put my clothes away. Okay, start with yourself. And then you can make some what you think is unattainable as a goal, in my opinion, is not, right? Like, I'm always chasing the acting, auditioning vibe. You know, I look at TV as a job market. Some people look at it as just an entertainment platform. It's like, what are you chasing after? It's available. You know, you can make your way. You want to go to concerts? Why don't you work behind the scenes at a concert? You know, you could be a stagehand and learn the ins and outs of being a concert promoter from the inside and still see the show and get paid to do it. While you're learning these experiences, a lot of my friends that do go to the military, once they go, I say, hey, when you come back and you come back to the Airsoft War Games, you're going to bring war college with you. You know, you'll have an understanding of why we have a rank on our team or why we do things in the way we do a little bit, like, you know, that is in the military. You know, it just seems to work, you know, running a 12-man team, you know, it just seems to work, whether it's baseball or football or hockey, you know, that camaraderie, that there's a captain of the team. They go out and flip the coin for, you know, receiving or kickoff, or they're flipping it for home or away in baseball. You know, there's always somebody that's taking the captain's position. And then there's the team. And everybody respects the captain and lets him go out to the mound. And they might bring one other, the catcher, with them. And hey, you know, just two into danger. Okay.
Yep.
Hey, come with me out to the mound, dude. We're going to flip the coin. I want a number with me, just not myself. So that's why when you see people going out into the center to flip the coin, there's multiple, you know, football players from both sides standing around their team captains while they flip the coin.
Yep. Yep.
Right. I mean, it's the same way. And going in, and when you went through the SEALs, did your career take you over to any deployments into, you know, the war on terror that we were dealing with for the last 25 years?
Yeah. So I was in 91 to 98, and then I did a break in service. It was 2000 to 2005. The time period that I was in, we went to Bosnia, and then I spent a lot of time in classified combat mini submersibles doing stuff underwater.
Wow. With pulmonary at 12 to living in an underwater classified submersible of some sort.
It was awesome. I loved it.
Holy cow. How cool. Yeah. Did you see any gold?
You don't see much underwater, especially in the middle of the night, crappy harbors. And I mean, literally crappy harbors.
Oh, bro. Like, yeah. And so if visibility sucks, it sucks. So
you can't even see this, right?
No. Yeah.
There.
But like whatever device is telling you to go whatever direction doesn't tell you that there's something in front of you per se.
No, it
you don't know.
It does.
It does.
There's some sonar that you get to use.
So like you don't crash into the pier's post.
Yeah. It looks like old Channel 99. You know, today 99 is probably like CNBC
right,
or something. But, you know, in the old days, it was just kind of staticky.
Static.
And you'd have to figure out right angles and things. It's gotten a lot better.
And air bubbles, I'd imagine, are happening, right, at the same time.
You have a very special pack. It looks like a Ghostbuster pack.
Interesting.
Big, huge backpack that allows you to have no bubbles.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
deep. It's a very, we used to call it, we're strapping on a Mercedes S-Class onto each of us.
Yeah. It sounds very, very cool to have that for the job that you were dealing with.
It was awesome.
And I mean, yeah. And it probably gives you like, you can tell me yes or no. It gives you a lot of breathing capability, right? For a long period of time.
It does.
Okay. That's cool. That's way cool. Yeah, I'm intrigued. And I've got to get off this questions because I'm going to start going down that road. I'll wait for the video game.
Well, you know, people can look at that system up or the whole system. It's called a sealed delivery vehicle.
And sealed delivery vehicle.
Those are classified combat mini submersibles. You won't find anything on the inside, but you can see the outside of them.
Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's open, right? Like you might just be in the water.
Oh yeah, yeah. These are flooding mm-hmm. subs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And is that sense of cluster of? I mean, you're trained to have this scuba gear on. I guess you're just good to go, right?
You know, that's actually very intuitive. You've come up with that because I didn't even think about that at first when I started the training. Mm-hmm. You get claustrophobic mm-hmm. in the beginning because you know the faceplate of the sonar is right here and you're in a tight space and I'm a big guy. I'm, you know, 6'3", 250 pounds and you're wedged in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Once you slide those doors shut, it's a small little space. Kind of you're going to be in there for a long time.
Yeah. Right. And so I would imagine, and almost like, you know, have you ever seen Abyss, the movie Abyss?
Yeah. Of course.
Like how they have to engulf
the fluid in the lung. Yeah, you're not doing that.
No, I don't think, not yet. No.
With that though, that was actually a real scenario that they were trying to play with.
I think, I know, right? And that's why I'm saying not yet.
Yeah, not yet.
There's somebody out there like, hey, send me to Mars for 5 years. I'll go. I'll do it. I'll test. Let me test it.
Yeah.
Someone wants to be Captain America. Go ahead and inject me, bro.
You need a team of them.
Exactly, exactly. Now, we talked about Goldbud. We talked about your books, which we'll also have noted down in our description, you know, after, I think it's Chris. Chris, my guy, Chris, thanks for writing all of these, or Mark. I know they listen to the podcast, mm-hmm. and then they bring it all together, and it's like I wrote it. And so I just got to give them a shout out. Yeah, dude, great team.
The biggest shout out I can offer to everybody is Goldbud. You know, it's a new app. It's free. And we want people. I'm on this kind of Don Quixote mission to help 1% of the world achieve a goal. And, you know, you start achieving goals, you get this cascading series of confidences to dream up bigger goals. You just have to understand you're way more powerful than you realize. And as I often tell people, unstoppable is a choice. And you get to make it. Every morning when you get up and multiple times throughout the day, you just need that compass of what you're going to go be unstoppable for. And that's what Goldbud can be for you.
Yeah, I have it actually up on my phone right now, right here. It's telling me where to download it, you know, Apple, Droid, wherever it's at, Goldbud, the three steps, one, set a goal, put it in writing. You aren't serious about achieving your goal without taking this first step. I like that. This is straight up fresh. I'm just reading it to you, right? No, number two. Cool. Yeah, build your goals team, create a private social network for each goal. Who will you invite to your team? One trusted confidant or an entire community? Bring them all. That's what it says. Make commitments. Tell your team what you will do. You are twice as likely to succeed with a Goldbud team. Your buds have got your back. You know, and it's true, Commander Mills, okay, as if I may, that, you know, you're doing a good thing. That's what I want to say is true. I want to say that you're putting out a positive boomerang of karma. All right. And just to piggyback on Taylor Swift there with karma, I just want to let you know that. Okay.
Thank you.
So I like the same boomerang analogy. I'm going to have the app on my phone. I'm going to try to implement it and try something new because I don't use it. I'll try to use it and implement it and try to make a goal and see if I can get active with it. I'd rather have someone tell me, I'd rather have a sounding board that I can possibly hit my ideas off of if I don't have one. What if I'm all by myself? I live in a room and, you know, it's downstairs and the upstairs neighbor, I don't even know him. I don't know who to talk to. Well, that looks like that's a sounding board of people who can give you, you know, advice or whatnot, right?
Yes. And by the way, your airsoft teams, your combat teams, Yes. Get them using it, saying, hey, together, just the mere fact, those are your best buds. They've already been practicing having your back. And say, hey, guys, you know, I want to lose 30 pounds. I want to go climb a mountain. I'm thinking of writing a book. You know, I want to make a career change. And I'm thinking I want to do what Rad's doing. Rad, would you be my bud?
And you'd be
Yeah. Okay, let's start. Like, there's no time. Don't push it off. You know, I was having lunch with somebody the other day, and he's like, well, I want to write a book. And I'm like, well, fantastic. What do you put the table of contents together? Well, no, but I'm almost 90% there. I'm like, 90% to what? 90% to putting the table of contents together. I'm like, just sit down and think about what the introduction is going to be. Then let's go through the chapter one and chapter two and chapter three. Just write the outline, but do a little every day. Whatever that thing is, the challenge becomes people will have these little obstacles called limiting beliefs in their head that they, you know, and I had it. My first book took me 10 years to write because I had this thought in my head, this narrative that kept coming back from an English teacher I had in ninth grade said, Mills, you suck at English. Don't ever try and think you can go to AP English. I never went to AP English, right? I mean, it was like the doctor telling me that I play chess. We all have that. But guess what? That guy actually gave me the greatest gift because eventually you work hard enough, you become a lot better at English. And by the way, he never wrote a book in his life. And he's telling me what I can or can't do.
Right, right. It's easy to spend someone else's money.
Yeah. So you go find those buds and you go to your airsoft teams and put them together and be like, hey, it's great. We're coming every other week together. Let's come together every single day through our own goal teams. Get on goal. Let's go do things better together because we'll be even better on the battlefield.
It's true. I get hit up in all sorts of different angles on, you know, it'd be cool to have it centrally located. Like, here it is. You know, we can all just reach each other right there, that kind of attitude. And so, and it's goalbud.org for my listener out there. There's an org behind it if you want to check it out.
That's for the website, but you
can- Right, for the website. But it has on there also the app. You can get your app there too.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Just to let you know, the .org means a lot. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I just want to put that out there.
No, it's but, and you hit the nail on the head. You know, this is about going out and making a dent in the universe. It's about making something that is going to get a lot of people to help other people achieve things. And when we can infect people to do things to help other people, well, then we stand a chance of making a difference together.
It's true. I completely agree. I am. I'm so happy that you were on my show today. This has been a
You had me, Rad.
Enlightening. And I say this is you should be on the show periodically as well, not just this one time. We should have you on and bring out other, you know, excerpts or talk about other instances and just help motivate and give us that affirmations that we do need. It's very positive to hear from you. And I know there's so many stories that we could get wrapped up in and us meeting today and becoming acquaintances and becoming friendly. And, you know, there's more of this. And I just want to say you're always welcome to be on the show.
Well, Rad, well, then let's do it. We'll do it quarterly and we'll talk about how to succeed together.
Then let's do that. And we'll make that happen. That's no problem.
Good.
Okay. Yeah, 100%. And to my listener out there, if you're considering chasing your dreams, keep considering and doing it. Okay. Just go after it. I'm doing it. I do this every time. I do these podcasts each and every time. I have to upload them. I have to work on them. I have to put them together. This is a love of the game. I promise you that. And talking to my guests are the gold that I pan out of the situation, okay? Because I get to learn and grow and glean off of you. So thank you for being my golden nugget today. I appreciate that.
Boom. Hey, thank you for going after your dream because if you hadn't, we wouldn't have been meeting together today.
That's true. And thanks to Brandon and SoftRep for believing in my dreams and saying, Rad, we want you. And I'm like, I don't know. You want me? Sure. Here we are. Years later, okay? And with that said, I have a merch store. It's actually SoftRep's. It supports the show. It really does. If you like what you hear and you like my guests and you like what we're doing, go buy a shirt, buy a mug, do it, help support it. And you never know, Brandon Webb might sign a book and send it in one of your packages. He does it all the time. So there you go. And
give Brandon on behalf the best of, too, Rob.
I will give Brandon your best. I'll text him this afternoon and say it was a great show. And with that, on behalf of my guest, who I've had for a solid hour on this, I want to say thanks to Alden Mills, commander, entrepreneur, human being on this earth that walks with a positive spirit. Thank you for being on Soft Rep today.
Thank you, brother. I send you my love.
And I appreciate you, okay? And we'll talk soon, and we'll do this on a quarterly basis. To my listener, you can count on it. All right, with that, this is Rad saying thanks for watching and joining us on Soft Rep. Peace.
You've been listening to Soft Rep Radio.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.